Trustee Nelson.
Okay.
It is, 2:10 PM on 27th October 2009. We're back on the record for OTA-PA-09-005 in the appeal of Guam Community Improvement Foundation, Inc. Mr. Cunliffe has just finished, his witnesses for today. We have agreed to go out of order. We are going to go out of order because, Mr. Cunliffe still has to review some, other, documentary items and some, sound recording items, before he decides whether or not to call any additional witnesses. So we are now going to start with the purchasing agency's presentation of evidence. And, Mr. Abrams, do you have any witnesses?
Yes, at least two. The first witness I would call, and this is Mr.
Yun Ho, the, president of Quetek.
Okay. And, I think we're down to one OPA staff here. Okay, if you can call Mr. Yun Ho, please.
We called him when Mr. Abrams asked. He said he would come right down.
Okay, then we can wait. Instead of Mr. Ho, I can call Ali from Gina.
Is that Ali Limpiaco?
Yes.
Okay, so we can call Ali Limpiaco instead until Mr. Ho arrives.
And then when Mr. Ho arrives, after Ms. Limpiaco.
Could you talk into the mic, Mr. Abrams? I want to capture the.
Then I'll call Mr. Ho, the following witness.
Thank you, Mr. Abrams.
Bye.
Ms. Limpiaco, could you please proceed to the witness table, please? Careful of the wiring. Please have the witness one.
Please state your name in full. Ali and Salam Taisner Limpiaco. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Abrams, your witness.
Please state your name for the record.
Ali Antoine Tantino Limpiaco.
And where do you live?
I live in Walnut Creek, California.
And you're originally from Guam?
Yes.
And do you have a professional relationship with the Guam Economic Development Authority?
Yes. I am the Government of Guam's financial advisor through the Guam Economic Development Authority.
And could you give the public auditor and the hearing officer a snapshot of your educational qualifications and background?
Sure. I have a finance degree from Babson College in Wilson, Massachusetts. I've been an investment banker for nearly 10 years, most recently with Bank of America Securities. And prior to that, for about 2 years, I was a public finance analyst at the Guam Economic Development Authority.
And what does the nature of your work with GEDA require, generally?
An understanding of the municipal markets, how investment banking works, as well as structuring and financing municipal bonds or obligations.
Are you familiar with the, and are you involved with the JFK procurement project?
Yes, as it relates to GEDA's role, I'm involved in advising GEDA and the government of Guam on the financing components of the JFK project.
Well, what is the reason for a GEDA role in this project?
GEDA's mandated per Title 12, Division 2, Section 5103K of the Guam Code to be the central financial manager for the government of Guam. And part of that is to manage basically all financings that are government obligations. All of the obligations are managed by GEDA, and GEDA's involved in that process.
Okay, and with respect to the number one ranked bidder, IBC, what involvement did GEDA have in the requirement that IBC provide financing as the number one ranked bidder? Without telling us what the substance of any negotiations or any involvement was or any participation, because that's been determined to be protected, just the process and the procedure and the steps that GEDA was taking is what I'm after here. With respect to the number one bidder, there's been testimony that there was a New York trip, for example, and maybe you could start at the beginning of GEDA's involvement in the number one ranked bidder's effort to develop financing, and what GEDA, what you did and what GEDA did with respect to that effort made by IBC.
Sure. I think the real financing process started in June after the government and GEDA had completed the general obligation and Section 30 obligation bonds for the deficit in COLA, and as well as the landfill. And as you know, you're under strict court deadlines to meet a June 30th deadline for that. After that, GEDA, because this is a government of Guam obligation, there are securities regulations that are required to that require certain information be disclosed to investors when you're going out into a public offering. And GEDA and the government of Guam, including DOA and BBMR, had to supply that information to IBC, their investment banker, and KEPFA, KEPFA Corp, in order to in order for the lawyers to, I guess, develop this disclosure document for investors. That as well as other legal documentation took about 5 weeks, I would say. Because this is a government of Guam obligation, the pool of investors in the municipal market is similar to what investors would be for like a general obligation bond or the Section 30 bond. And since the government had just finished completing one-on-one investor meetings with investors in the municipal market, we thought it would help the interest rate cost if we continue those talks and explored whether or not some of those investors would want to invest in these certificates. So that was part of the reason for the New York trip.
In your role as a GITA consultant in this financing effort by IBC, do you have an opinion as to whether IBC was compliant with their obligations under the RFP procurement with respect to finance?
I think the obligation was to provide 100% financing, and I think they were well on their way to doing that, and there was an automatic stay issued because of the protest.
I have nothing further. Thank you very much, Mrs. Antiaco. Ms. King?
If I can have a moment, please. I just have one or two questions for you, Ms. Antiaco. You stated that GITA's involvement was to help provide financial information so that the disclosure documents can be developed, correct?
Correct.
And is this something that requires the involvement of the government to form a new perspective required to obtain a technical bond?
That's correct.
All right. And that is your understanding that is what was contemplated by the statute that authorized the reconstruction of the JFK?
Yes.
Okay. And has any other bidder or proposer, if any other bidder or proposer was, had planned to came and go to the market and get a tax exempt bond, they would have had to follow the very exact same procedure.
That's correct.
And GITA's involvement would have been the exact same involvement.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Kremel, any cross-examination?
Thank you. Ms. Antiaco, the RFP didn't indicate that the government had to put the bidder in touch with previous investors that GITA had spoken to?
No.
So you didn't have, you basically found their buyers?
No, there were certain investors that we met with on the general obligation in Section 30 bonds that we thought may be interested, and the more investors you have, the more the interest costs because you have greater competition among investors. And so we thought that the government actually, you know, had a financial interest in this, and so we thought that would help drive the interest rate down.
But GITA actually put them in touch with the people who are potentially going to be their investors?
IBC hired an investment bank that made that contact, not GITA directly.
And who was that investment bank, you know?
Piper Jaffray.
And were they put in touch with the...
Objection. To the extent that this question is inquiring into matters covered by the protective order.
Ms. Kremel?
I'll ask the question, and perhaps you can answer it. I'm not sure if it does or not. My question is, did GITA put them in touch with Piper Jaffray?
Okay, I'm going to overrule the objections on the grounds that GITA's role, okay, and what they did and what meetings they had as it relates to the RFP, that is not, and who participated in the meetings likewise, that is a part of the public record in this case and not subject to the protective order. But once again, Mr. Cunliffe, please avoid eliciting any information contained in any of the proposals. Please proceed.
Thank you.
When were you asked to be involved in this process of the with GITA and IBC?
I think initially, probably around February to March.
Okay. did you provide any insight for the evaluators to determine and understand municipal market structuring and financial and structuring and financing municipal bonds prior to their evaluation?
I'm not sure if it was prior to the evaluation or not.
The evaluations were in January?
I think so.
Did you attend the evaluation session on January 15th at the ITC building?
No.
And you indicated that GEDA is the government of Guam's finance, the control all of government of Guam's financing. Is that essentially what you said?
Yes.
And you've been hired by GEDA as a consultant?
Correct.
You don't work directly for GEDA?
Okay, sorry. Ms. Limpiaka, please speak a little louder.
Okay.
If you'd like. Please proceed.
You don't work directly for GEDA?
No.
And they have hired you to assist GEDA in understanding municipal market structuring and financing of municipal bonds?
Yes.
I have nothing further.
Ms. Limpiaka, are you familiar with the financing of the four schools where I think compact impact monies are a source of collateral?
Yes.
Are you involved in that financing?
Yes.
The nature of that financing, is that similar to... that particular financing, is that similar to the one that's being proposed?
In general, yes.
You stated earlier that these are obligations of the government of Guam similar to the Section 30 funding for the landfill as well as the COLA bonds?
Somewhat. The statute that authorizes this financing required it to be subject to appropriation, and that would make it a general fund obligation.
The current proposal, or the proposal that was stopped, would make it?
The financing contemplated by the statute that authorized the RFP requires the financing to be a subject to appropriation type structure, which is basically a general fund credit subject to the appropriation by the legislature. So the payment of the obligation is subject to appropriation by the legislature. Does that make sense?
The annual debt service payment has to be appropriated each year by the Guam legislature.
That's correct.
So, my recollection, I have to get to law and the public law 29-94, is I thought the financing said it would not be an obligation of the government of Guam.
I'm not sure of the exact language, but I think that was intended to mean that it would not be counted towards the government of Guam's debt limit. But it is essentially an obligation of the government of Guam, since the payments are coming from the government of Guam.
the proposed financing, or the nature of the financing, is still an obligation in the sense that the government of Guam is going to be obligated to pay under the lease. Yes, I understand that. But it would not be considered in the overall indebtedness of the government of Guam,
correct.
Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, I understand that. So just to repeat, it is a long-term obligation because the government of Guam is going to enter into a lease which will finance the payment of GFK. So from that term, it is an obligation. But from a debt limit obligation, it is not considered GO debt or subject to the debt limitation under the Organic Act.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. The proposed financing, is that a common type of financing? You said they were kind of similar. Could you explain in general terms the similarity?
Leaseback financings are common, especially in the state of California, to fund schools.
Okay. And how do they work in California? Could you help me understand the process?
Well, similar to what's contemplated here, an independent party enters into a ground lease with the municipality or the school district, and then finances and leases back the facility to that school district. And that's sort of how it works. There are nuances that are a little bit different here and there, but that's kind of the general concept.
The rating, the preliminary official statement gave a rating of B. Was that your expectation, given your own background? Could the paper propose financing gotten a better rating?
It's my understanding that rating agencies view subject to appropriation type debt as one notch lower than the municipality's general obligation, which the GovGuam's general obligation is rated B plus. So it was our expectation that this might be rated B, but we really can't say until the rating agency comes back.
So the Section 30 was B plus, and this initially was rated as B.
The Section 30 is a little bit different.
Do you recall what was the rating for the other school bond, the one that's using compact impact?
I think it was A or maybe A plus.
And the reason for that would have been?
The compact impact revenue stream is separate from the general fund and comes, it's more akin to a federal grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that financing was rated was more like it was a federal grant securitization versus a government of Guam revenue source.
You mentioned earlier you were involved in or about February to March of 2009 when Dieter brought you in to evaluate the RFP proposal by the member rank bidder. Is that correct, more or less?
Yes, but I really wasn't involved in the evaluation, so to speak.
Okay, so what was your role then?
Peter had
not an evaluation, I'm sorry, because by that time I think the selection had been made.
Right.
So what was your role after that?
I reviewed an analysis that Peter had put together on the different financing components.
And did you agree with that analysis?
Yes, for the most part. I mean, I think that there were other factors, obviously, that went into the evaluation, but I wasn't involved in the selection process.
Would you have rated it differently had you been involved?
No, given the proposals and the financing components, no.
So from February till about June, what happened with the financing proposals, to your knowledge?
The financing proposal was sort of delayed. I think there were major priorities that the government needed to focus on in terms of the district court's mandate to get the landfill financing done by June 30th, as well as the legislative mandate to issue $250 million bonds for the COLA and other deficit items. And that, just in and of itself, was a big feat for the government. It was the largest issuance that the government has ever done simultaneously. It required everyone's focus, from GEDA to BBMAR to DOA to the governor's office.
So because of that, then the JFK financing project was put on hold, more or less.
From GEDA's standpoint and the financing standpoint, yes.
Even though IBC could have been ready, the government of Guam was not ready to proceed.
Yes.
And were you present at that meeting in New York the first week of August?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was your sense of the prospective investors? Were they receptive to the bond?
Yes, I think so.
So they might have speculating. Do you think it would have been sold? I don't know what the word sold or issued.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We were a day and a half away from selling the full financing, and then we're told by the AG to stop.
Given the present condition of the market, what's your probability of the financing, where, let's say, to proceed in the next few months?
The market has actually gotten much better.
Money does.
It's improved. There was a big rally between late August and September, and I think if we were to go to market now, it would be sold.
At a better rate?
Probably. I mean, would have been compared to in the first week of August, yes.
So the delay was maybe fortuitous?
Maybe.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate the information you provided.
Thank you.
I just have one question, Ms. Lintiaco, and that is, you referred earlier that the real financing process started in June. When you say June, do you mean June of 2009?
Yes, I meant from the government standpoint.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any redirect, Ms. Rabins?
No, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Lintiaco, as these proceedings are still going forward here, I'm going to have to admonish you that not to discuss your testimony today with any of the other witnesses or any of the parties in this matter until these proceedings have concluded. And, of course, you are subject to a possible recall by any of the parties at some future time. And thank you for coming here today. You're excused.
Okay, thank you.